7:20 on a Thursday morning. Joining us now in our studios is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeff.
How are you today?
I'm very good. It's very blustery out here.
It's definitely a rocks and pockets day for the kids. If you're sending them off to the bus stop or walking to school.
Stay anchored to the ground.
No doubt. Hey, let's talk about some of the things that are current topics, all of them. So we'll start off with absentee ballots. Rich was explaining to me that the way the absentee ballots are counted in this upcoming election is, I don't know, under scrutiny. Maybe you could explain that a little better than I could.
Sure. Well, the statute requires the county to establish an absentee ballot board and to review the absentee ballots, including particularly the ballots from military people living overseas who want to vote, who have residency ties to this area who want to vote. So those it requires the establishment of an absentee ballot board, and because in Faribault and other parts of Rice County we have this special election for the first congressional district, our time frame on that was very short. In fact, the special primary for that first congressional district to replace Congressman Hagedorn is going to be in May, and then they will have a general election for that race in August, along with the primary for the general election in November. So we had to establish this board and get things moving more quickly than we ordinarily would. So we followed the statute, followed the case. There was a Minnesota Supreme Court case that came down a couple of weeks ago, and we were following along with that. And we had some people who still objected to what we were doing, and we reviewed it with them. We had an outside group who were threatening to sue us if we didn't change what we had adopted. We reviewed it with them. We reviewed it with the Olmsted County Attorney's Office because Olmsted had been involved in that litigation. It was Olmsted and Ramsey County and I think St. Louis County. And we reviewed it with them, and we came to a resolution that allows us to follow the statute in establishing that absentee ballot board that allows us to satisfy the concerns that group had about absentee balloting. And so we will be moving forward with our absentee ballot board. Our director of property tax and elections will be seeking to hire people to work as election judges. And their major concern was that we have the partisan election judges that we would have in an ordinary election and have them available. And so the director of property tax and elections will be reaching out to the people who have identified themselves as partisan election judges. Mm-hmm. And we try to have a balanced board. Of course, the issue is that we have four major parties in Minnesota. We have the DFL, we have the Republican Party, we have legalized marijuana now, and then the grassroots party, I believe, is that. So there are four major parties. We'll have representatives likely from maybe two of them. And so it's hard to find.
Have you decided which two yet?
Well, it isn't that we're deciding which two. It's uh-huh. It's about who's available.
Mm-hmm.
And so using those lists, we go first to those lists, and then we go to our hiring list and see who we can bring in, because we'll be bringing in people who can help deal with those ballots. And part of the thing, too, and we had decided to do this earlier, is that we will have a camera in the counting room so that, and a viewing room for other people to watch what's going on in there. So if they have concerns about what's going on, they can keep an eye on what's happening in the counting room.
Mm-hmm.
So our director of property tax elections and my office have worked pretty hard to come up with a resolution that satisfies people's concerns about transparency and their concern that we use election judges. And part of the thing, Jeff, is that we have a real you know, our elections are really designed still, and we still talk about it like our election is on one day. And now that we have no excuse absentee balloting and early voting, our election stretches out for weeks. So, you know, ballots for this special primary election for the first congressional district were started being mailed out last Friday, and they can start being reviewed for accuracy and whether or not they're accepted, and we're moving forward with all of that. So it's a complex process, and there's a lot going on, and basically we're in election mode from now to November.
Wow, it seems like a complex issue. Yeah, I had no idea that it is that involved. But let's talk. First of all, I want to mention that you mentioned the major parties. A major party isn't it defined by getting 5% or more at a local, or I should say, a statewide election?
That's right. And so the list of major parties has changed over the years, and so. Currently, there are, as I said, there are four major parties. There's two marijuana legalization parties, and then there's the DFL and Republican parties. So trying to find that balance and trying to find representatives of all four parties, we're certainly going to make efforts to do that. But when we can't get those people, then we'll have to hire people to make sure that we have enough, because processing all of these ballots from now through November is going to take a lot of time and a lot of people doing the work.
The one thing I was a little bit fuzzy on is where was the objection at? You mentioned there's a group that objected to it and threatened litigation. What was the big beef on that? This sounds all logical to me, like it has been, at least the way it's presented to me, it's been all thought out by and checked with all the state and local agencies.
Yes, and there was a concern that the local citizens had, and that this nonprofit group from the metro area had, that we were part of the concern comes from the fact that we don't have a county auditor anymore. We have a director of property tax and elections. And so the statute talks about the auditor and deputy county auditors, and our director of property tax and elections was talking about deputy election clerks. And so we just clarified that, you know, our director of property tax and elections has replaced the county auditor, and so her employees are deputy county auditors. And the other concern is that they felt there were tasks that are limited to being performed by election judges used in that process on election day. And so we are hiring people who will be, election judges or deputy county auditors to do the work. And that satisfied the objections. So
okay.
Part of it was just sort of language, and part of it was just sort of a miscommunication about what we were doing and what we were trying to do.
All right. You mentioned legalizing marijuana. I want to move into that and also talk about the legislature. I guess let's start off with legalizing marijuana. A couple of major parties have sprung out of this movement. Is this the year? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's going to happen this year. I don't think there's going to be agreement in the House and Senate. I know the governor has supported it. The attorney general has supported it. I'd say at this point, I don't support it. I'm still concerned about some of the issues that result from legalizing marijuana. And one of the big issues I have is how much marijuana can you smoke and safely drive your vehicle? And at the moment, we know that if we run into somebody who's impaired and there's a blood test and they test positive for THC, that's a DWI. But now if it's legalized, then we don't know what that is. And so I think there's a lot of issues that need to be resolved. I know Minnesota decriminalized marijuana a long time ago, but I don't think legalization is quite where we're ready to go. Most marijuana possession offenses aren't very serious. Some of them are petty misdemeanors, and some of them are misdemeanors. And to get to a felony, you have to have a lot. So it's not a an offense that we spend a lot of time dealing with, but I still think there's traffic safety issues. There's still other issues that I would like to see resolved before people move forward. Obviously, if the legislature legalizes it, then we'll deal with it. We deal with the law as it is. But I would just say I don't support legalizing marijuana at this point.
What, this is, I'm not a young person. You're not, we're not that young anymore.
Right.
All of my life that I can remember, since the childhood, there's been a movement to legalize marijuana. And some, sometimes it has more momentum than it does other. Anyway, why have these questions not been answered in 50 plus years? Has nobody just decided just not to answer those questions? We're not going to work on it. I would find it difficult to believe that there haven't been solutions to those answers that haven't been found yet. Seems like it's more of a political football that just kicked that can right on down to the next legislature.
And that could be a fair point, Jeff. And I think there's a lot to deal with. But I know that at least the reports from Colorado when they legalized marijuana was they had a lot more traffic safety issues. And that's one of the things that gives me pause in terms of saying, is this something we should do or not? And since we don't prosecute a lot of marijuana cases, I mean, frankly, to get to a felony, you have to have an awful lot of marijuana. And since we don't, it's not something I deal with every day. It's not something we spend a lot of time talking about.
Yeah.
But I would say that I think that there's more work to be done before people move to that legalizing marijuana stage.
All right. Certainly would need to be taken off Schedule 1, too. Maybe that'll come from the federal government. That would certainly help. Let's talk about the legislative session. Are there other issues as we head into the final month of legislative session after the Easter break here? Are there things you're keeping your eye on other than that?
Well, we talked last time about the legislature passing a law making it a crime for a county attorney not to charge a case without probable cause, not to charge a case once probable cause is established, which is actually a violation of our ethical duty. I mean, we can't charge a case unless we believe we can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt or we have adequate evidence to prove the case. And probable cause isn't enough. Probable cause can be a charging standard, but it's not the only charging standard. And that didn't make it into a final bill, and I was glad to see that. But there is still a reporting requirement in the Senate crime bill, which that county attorney offices across the state would have to report every time we dismiss a case, even if it's part of a plea bargain. We'd have to have a report. We'd have to have a website. And my colleagues have a great concern about this and most of them say they'd have to add one, maybe two people just to do data entry and maintain the website and make sure that their data is up to date and maintained on a website. So I think the County Attorneys Association estimates the cost of that bill statewide to be over $7 million. Which I think is worthy of concern and worthy of thinking out, and really what is the gain from that information? Because there's a lot of cases that come that don't, something happens, the victim changes their mind, the victim doesn't want to cooperate anymore, the evidence doesn't turn out the way we thought it would. There's a lot of reasons there, and there's also a lot of reasons why sometimes cases get resolved. Where someone we resolve several cases at once, and some of them get dismissed as part of that. And is there a public benefit to posting all that information or not? And I think that should be a longer term debate and discussion as to what information should be.
So is that still alive, or is
it's
that
still alive in the Senate crime bill?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one that's worthy of discussion.
All right, John. Anything else you'd like to mention while we have you on?
We had the county board is working on its redistricting plan. We had four plans that were unveiled last week, and the board reviewed them at Tuesday's meeting, and they were presented again by our director of property tax and elections, and the board is going to take a couple of weeks to think about it and come back, and we'll have another public hearing in 2 weeks. And so if people are interested, want to have their voices heard on that. They can review that. They can make comments to our Director of Property Tax and Elections, or show up for the board meeting, the public hearing on April 26th.
All right. John, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Rice County Attorney John Fossum. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.